Turn to Psalm 112 this morning. Psalm 112. And we're going to bring this series to a close this morning. And we're going to talk about the established heart. The established heart. And why is an established heart important? Well, we're going to have a look at this in Psalm 112 and break it down a little bit this morning. So the established heart. What is an established heart? What does an established heart look like? What's its relevance to this series, trusting in the Lord with all your heart? Well, go with me from verse 1 of Psalm 112, verse 1. I'm reading from the King James. And it says this: Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. That word fear is to reverence or to stand in awe of. So blessed is a man that has a reverence for the Lord and he delights in his word. So we have a reverence for God and we delight in his word. Well, that's a blessed person. A blessed person is someone that reverences God and delights in his word. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. What a wonderful promise. You've got seed, declare that over your seed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, when we talk about righteous man, mankind, men and women, not just man, their seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. It seems that God's very comfortable with filling your house with good things. God's comfortable with that. Not all God's people are. In fact, many of God's people fight you over all this. But God says, wealth and riches is going to be in your house. Why? Because you reverence me and you delight in my word. You reverence me, you delight my word, your seed's going to be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright and blessed, wealth and riches shall be in your house, and your righteousness shall endure forever. That tells me that if you have, you know, if you're blessed with wealth and riches, it's not going to impact your righteousness. Your righteousness is going to be sound. God will bless you with things as long as things don't have you. We're blessed to be a blessing, amen? Keep reading. Unto the upright there arises light. Remember, the entrance of his word gives light. So unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. Well, that's God's DNA. A good man or woman shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. He will guide his affairs with discretion. That means good judgment. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil. He shall not be afraid of evil. That's not the spirit whereof. Keep reading. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, meaning he shall not be afraid of bad news. A lot of bad news in the world, don't you think? Every single day you can get hours and hours of bad news. The word says that the righteous man or woman shall not be afraid of bad news. We don't need to be afraid of bad news. That's the world system, the broken system. But look what it says. But his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, his heart is established. So a product of trusting in the Lord is an established heart. When you put your trust in God, you establish your heart. Your heart is fixed. That means it's firm. You've got a confidence. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. So, some of those words, he shall be mighty upon the earth. That is powerful. Mighty means powerful. Hallelujah. Because when we seek the kingdom first, wealth and riches shall follow. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things shall be added unto you. And when you're blessed, go out and be a blessing. That's what God wants of his children. He shall not be moved. That means we're not going to waver. We're not going to be shaken. And we're not going to fall. That word fixed is firm and stable. His heart is fixed, firm and stable. A righteous man puts his trust in the Lord. And of course, that word established is to lean upon or to take hold of, to stand fast. Wow. Just go forward to Psalm 118, just over the page in your Bible, probably. Psalm 118. And I want to read from verse 1 to 8. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verse 1 to 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Do we know that God is good? God's a good God. He's not a bad God. He's not an evil person. He's a good God. Everything about God is good. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good. Good God, bad devil. When things are bad, devil's in town. But when you've got things going on in your world that's good, it's because God's good. God is not trying to harm his children. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear or reverence the Lord say his mercy endures forever. I call upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a high place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. That's a choice of the will. What can man do to me? The Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desires upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Because when you trust in the Lord, you get an established heart which is fixed and firm. That means it's not based on circumstances that you're presented with. It's based on the unchanging, living Word of God. The only way you can fix your heart and keep it firm and stable is this book, the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word. We teach the Word so that we can be all that God's called us to be and do all that God's called us to do. He wants us to walk in victory. So, you know, we trust him. Religion, think of this. Religion has never produced an established believer. Not religion. If the light of the world is not shining in our hearts, we're in darkness. If we haven't got the light of the Word in our heart, we're walking in darkness. You haven't even got a little bit of light without the Word. No Word, no light. No Word, no faith. No faith, no grace. That's how the kingdom works, whether we like it or not. No Word, no light. No Word, no faith. No faith, you can't take the grace. Because faith takes the grace. And we need the grace of God every day. So the established heart is Word ruled. It's a Word ruled heart. It is fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able to perform. And we'll have a look at that shortly in Romans. But the heart becomes fully persuaded. If God said it, that's it. Don't let people take the truth out of your heart. You've got to guard it. Because well-meaning people don't want you to believe God for the impossible. Well-meaning people don't want you to believe necessarily that God's good for you. That God's going to do good for you. That God wants you well. That you can understand him and his ways. Well, of course we can understand God and his ways because he's given us his Word. We can understand him. We can know him. Paul said to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He then went on to say, I know in whom I have believed. Paul knew God. Not just an idea of him. Paul knew him because Paul was close to him. Go with me to Matthew. New Testament, Matthew, first gospel, and chapter 7. And we want to get to the very last part of chapter 7, which is where Jesus finishes his Sermon on the Mount. He finishes his Sermon on the Mount. So we're now at verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. Remember, we're talking about an established heart, because that's a product of trusting in the Lord. Now, Matthew writes this in verse 24, if you're with me. Therefore, these are Jesus' words, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Now, that word wise man means prudent, thoughtful, and acumen, meaning good judgment. I'll liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He built his house upon a rock. That's a solid foundation. So the person that hears and does, not just hears, just hearing the word, hear me, people, this morning, you come in, you hear the word, but you don't apply it in your life, that's not a rock foundation. Not at all. In fact, we'll find out what that is in a moment. But when we hear the word, do we make that word our truth? Is that now our truth? We walk out the door at the end of it, and he says, if you hear the word and do what I just said, that's a rock foundation. That's an established heart. But if you don't, that's not an established heart. God's very clear on this. Look what Jesus says. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. So, you know, that's a stable, established location. It's on a rock. Then it says this, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man. That word foolish means dull, stupid, or heedless. Wow. A foolish person that hears the word that doesn't do it is considered dull, foolish, or heedless. Doesn't heed the word. God doesn't hold back, does he? He's very clear. We can hear and do, or we can hear and reject and ignore. And when we hear and we reject and ignore, it never ends well spiritually. It's always going to come at a cost. So when you know in your heart of hearts that this is something that I've got to change in my life because it's inconsistent with the word and you choose not to, well, that's a matter for you. But there's never a blessing on anything which is outside of God's will. Never. Take that to the bank. God cannot bless which he hasn't already decreed. Can't. And God's suddenly not changing. If God has decreed something, an unholy thing, it'll always be an unholy thing. God can't bless what he's condemned, ever. Now, there's a lot in the world that think God will. Certain relationships and all that, oh, you know, God's a loving God, God's going to bless it. No, he's not. Because it's outside the living word. God doesn't do anything outside his word. The sooner we get that as Christians, the much better off we are, because it's got to align to his word for the blessing to flow. Study out Israel and see whether that isn't true. When Israel walked with God, there was a blessing. When they got off, when they got out of his will, it wasn't good. Why do we think the church is going to be any different? The church needs the living word of God. So, we keep reading. I want to read 26 again. If they don't do them, shall he liken them to a foolish man that built his house upon the sand? On the sand, shifting, unstable. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall. And great was the fall. It's interesting. Rain descends, floods will come, and winds will blow on both. On both, the righteous and those that aren't following the word. The rains come, the winds blow, and the floods. They come on both. One stands because it's on a foundation. One falls, and the fall is great. That means a downfall or a fail. So what it's telling us, and it's consistent and supportive of what we've been saying, that we need to establish our heart on something. What's the something? His word. That we make as our truth, that we now apply in our lives. That's when the word's established in your heart. Not just because you come to church on Sunday and hear the word. Well, I heard the word on Sunday, that was great, but are you living it? The true test is, are you living the word that you heard, or are you ignoring and saying, no, I do it this way, I do it my way. This way brings me great pleasure in my life. It doesn't matter what God's word says. I'm doing it my way. I can tell you now, people, that'll never be blessed. Ever. You might think it will, but you can't walk in the blessings if you ignore the truth of God's word. That's for all of us. You know, we want to do it God's way, and that's the beauty of his word. So go to James. James chapter 5. These will be familiar to you, these scriptures, but they're going to help us this morning as we bring this series to a close. This is the one that's going to help us to secure that solid foundation of trust in our God. Well, that's my prayer this morning, that it will be. James chapter 1. Go to James 1. We've read this, and I think we've actually read this earlier in this series, but I want to repeat it again because it's important that we understand this. Hallelujah. See, if it's a rock, it's stable and it's established. If it's a rock. If it's sand, it's shifting. Very, very unstable. You know, God's people that aren't in the Word, they're very unstable. That's not judgment or criticism. That's just a reality. When God's people don't read the Word, they've got a very unstable platform in life. And it doesn't take much for the enemy to bring confusion and doubt, condemnation and guilt, and all those sort of things that come with that sort of shifting sand environment. The word makes us stable. Stay in the word, and your life is never the same again. And you know what? Whether you've been in it 10 years, 10 minutes, or 50 years, it's always going to be this. This is my 35th year as a Christian. I'm in the Word today as much as I was in the Word back then, if not more. I have to be. I can't get out of this Word. The day I get out of this Word, not a good day. Stay in the Word, people. It's everything. It's for your life. Have a look at verse 5 of James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. King James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. That means he's not going to rebuke you, and it shall be given him. So if you lack wisdom, ask God, and God is happy for you to ask him for wisdom, and he will give it to you. But, the big but, let him ask in faith, not wavering. Don't waver. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man or woman is unstable in all his ways. A single-minded man or woman is stable. Why? Because they're established. Established on what? On the rock of the Word of God. So if we're double-minded, we waver, we're unstable. That's shifting sand. We don't want that. So if we're going to ask for wisdom, we ask in faith, not wavering. And that's important. And you've heard me say this before, but it's important to understand this. It says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It didn't say God's not giving. God's always giving. But we're not necessarily always in the best position to be a receiver of the grace that he's giving us. So it didn't say he won't give it. It said they won't receive it. Let not that man or woman think that they'll receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man or woman, unstable. Well, you know, God's good today, but you know, he's not good tomorrow because something happened in our circumstances. Why do circumstances change that? Why should life circumstances change an unchanging God who's always good? God's always good. He will always be good. He was good in the beginning and he's going to be good for eternity. His word is truth. He cannot lie, and his word's unchanging. So we've got all these wonderful things that anchor us to this amazing God who said something and he backs it. If he said it, he meant it. If he meant it, he said it. We don't need anyone to try and dilute the word. Don't let people dilute the truth. Don't let them cause you to think that, well, look, I'm not really worthy because I've got a few things going on. Well, you know what? If your circumstances suddenly cause you to be out of favor with God, then redemption was a very weak thing. But redemption, the cross of Calvary, was the most powerful thing that ever occurred. The greatest power that God ever demonstrated was not when he created the universe, it was when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That was the greatest power that God ever demonstrated, when he raised his son from the dead and he became the first begotten of the many. We're the many. Because we've been recreated in spirit, born again on the inside. Powerful. Outward things don't count for anything. It's that inward transformation that makes us something to behold before God. That's why we're trophies of his grace. Every one of us. Devils fear Christians that know who they are in Christ. Devils fear that. When you get that word and you start speaking it out, they'll scurry, they'll run, because they know that a believer that understands how to use that two-edged sword, how to keep that shield of faith up, they're not going to take you on. Oh, they'll have a crack. But you stand, they'll flee. So, we don't want to be double-minded. We want to be established constantly. Now, go to Romans chapter 4. Go back to Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. And of course, he's making reference to Abraham in chapter 4. And of course, you know, Abraham's considered the father of faith. Why is that? Well, he believed God said. God said something, Abraham believed it. And God said, well, because you believe me, I count you right. You're righteous. In my sight, you're righteous. That was long before the law was ever introduced. And of course, you know, we fast forward to the modern church. Well, that's how we get right with God. We believe something. We believe in the one that he sent, Jesus. We believe in his son. We believe he died. He rose from the dead. He sat at the right hand of the Father. He paid the price for our sin. And because we believe, we're counted righteous. In other words, we're right with God. We can stand in his presence any time of the day or night. Any time of the day or night, go to your father and talk to him. Say, Father, I need to talk to you. Yep, come up here, son. Daughter, come up here. What do you need? I could just imagine the first thing God's saying is, what do you need? Because I'm going to give it to you. What do you need? What, can I come and ask you for something? Of course you can. You're my daughter and my son. What do you need? What do you need? God wants his children blessed. God raised up David to be the king of Israel. You know, he was the shepherd boy, had the few sheep. And then, of course, he made a few mistakes along the way. And there's a reference in Scripture where Nathan the prophet had to correct him for the sins he committed. And through the prophet, God said, I took you and I raised you up to be this. And if that wasn't enough, I would have given you more. What? If that wasn't enough, I raised you up to be the king of my nation Israel. And he said, if that wasn't enough, oh, I would have given you more. But you took that little ewe lamb. And he was referring to Bathsheba. You can study the story. But I want you to see the heart of God here. If that wasn't enough, I would have given you more. More. What, more than being the king of Israel? Blessed to the Lord. That's the heart of God. God's not stingy. God's lavish. God loves his children. God wants to bless his children. But you know what? One of the great challenges the king has is finding people that are willing to receive that blessing, because they don't feel worthy. They won't run to the throne of grace. They won't go boldly, like the Bible says in Hebrews, you know, 4 and 16. Come boldly to my throne that you might find grace and help in a time of need. Well, when you've got a time of need, go to the throne. Go to the throne. Not the phone. go to the throne first, and then he might tell you, go to the phone, ring Paul. No, don't ring me. No, you can. Not at midnight. But, you know, go to the throne before the phone. There you go. Because he'll answer us. All right. Verse 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Paul speaking about Abraham. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who believed, even God who quickens the dead. That means he makes the dead alive and calls those things which are not as though they were. That's how faith works. Faith calls something in, whether you can see it, feel it, taste it, touch it, smell it. It's not based on natural, you know, senses. Faith is supernatural and is produced in the recreated human spirit. So we have to operate the way God, that's how he wants us to operate and function. He says light be and light was. Well, there was darkness when he said light be. He said light be. All he could see was darkness. But he was calling light in because he saw it by faith. And that's how the body of Christ is supposed to operate. We're not to be moved by the circumstances that present themselves, but we're to believe God at his word. That means we call things in. We make declarations of faith. People struggle with that. What do you mean? I have to declare things? Yep. Just like God did. Declare what you want, not what you have. Well, you know, I've got no money and I've got this going on and the relationships are failing and I've got a crook back, and you keep calling it in, you'll keep living it. That's the way of faith. Faith works for you, and it can work against you in the negative if that's the way you choose to live. Your words are powerful, very powerful. And the more we study, the more we're going to understand that. Your words are going to frame your world whether you like it or not. Whether we like it or not, they're going to impact in our world. So we keep reading. So God calls things which are not as though they were. Another way to say that, Abraham believed God who brings the dead to life and who creates new things out of nothing. He creates new things out of nothing. That's God. Then, of course, look at verse 18. And, of course, this is Abraham now, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall your seed be. So that was a word that was spoken to Abraham back in Genesis. Look up in the sky and see if you can count those stars. So shall your seed be. So shall your seed be. That will be your descendants. And Abraham believed God. That was it. He believed God, and God said, you're righteous. Oh my goodness. That's it. That's what we do to be made right with God, is to believe him. Yes. Yeah, but what about all my performing for God and, you know, this and that and my right behavior? All that comes out of a recreated human spirit, but none of that precedes believing. Your good behavior is not going to produce a righteous heart. Good manners, performance. None of that's going to give you right standing with God. I know that because I spent 30 years in a religious system and had no relationship with God until God spoke to my heart. So I understand that. But when we believe something by faith, when you believe God's word, when somebody speaks to you about the fact that, you know, there's a loving God and he sent his son Jesus and he wiped your sins away, and if you call upon his name, you'll be saved, and someone says, I believe that. Righteous. Righteous. And then out of a righteous heart comes the right behaving and the right thinking and the right acting and the right doing over time. It's a process. But thank God for his gentle nature. So verse 18 again, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, this is Abraham, not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't consider his dead body. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He wasn't being motivated or moved by his natural circumstances. You've got to understand, faith is not natural. If you're trying to live a faith life in a natural way, you're going to fail. So will I. Faith is not natural. Faith is supernatural. Faith produces something out of a realm that we can't see. It's the spirit realm. It's as real as this realm. We just can't see it. It's above light. We just can't see it, but it's real. And how do we tap into that? Through the Word of God, when we make that truth our truth. So he wasn't moved. He didn't consider his body, you know, nor Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through what? Unbelief. Unbelief will cause you to stagger. Unbelief will cause you to stagger. The enemy will bring people into your world to get you to start doubting truth. Don't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Make it a decision in your heart that if I read the word and that word's for me, that that's going to be my word from now till the day I leave this world. Make that determination that you're not going to stagger at the promise of God because of unbelief. Because that's what the devil did to Eve. Got in there and said, did God really say? Whispered in her ear. She took the bait, bought the lie, and it all went pear-shaped for both Adam and Eve, and it affected all humanity to this day. Every child born of a woman is born with a sin nature. Even though Jesus has paid the price at Calvary and we have now redemption, but every human being born in the earth still today is born with a sin nature because the seed must produce after its own kind, and Adam fell, separated. So, of course, that's why we have to turn to Jesus to get rid of the sin nature and replace it with a righteous nature, which is what we've done. If you've made Jesus Lord of your life, you are his righteousness. Verse 20 again, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Where it says he staggered not, that means, to stagger means to withdraw from, to oppose, to hesitate, to contend, to doubt, to judge, or to waver. He didn't do any of those. He didn't withdraw, he didn't oppose, he didn't hesitate, he didn't contend with, he didn't doubt, he didn't judge, and he didn't waver. He trusted God and his word. That's great faith. That's what the centurion did. He said, you don't need to come to my house, Jesus. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Great faith. Jesus said it and you believe it. Great faith. He staggered not. But he was strong in faith and he was fully persuaded, which is most surely believe. To be fully persuaded is to most surely believe. He had no doubt in his heart that God was able to do what he said. And of course, what was the result of that? And verse 22, and therefore it was imputed or counted to him for righteousness. He didn't work for it. He didn't earn it. It wasn't some special reward. He received righteousness because he believed God. That's Christianity today. Simply believing God at his word produces this wonderful transformed heart called the believer. What a beautiful, precious thing that is. How wonderful. All right. Romans 10. And this is going to bring us to a bit of a wind up this morning and this entire series. So I want to go to Romans 10 now, just a few pages forward. Hallelujah. And I want to read from verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. Such a wonderful book, this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, are we a whosoever? You betcha we are. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall, not might. Oh, I'll see how I'm feeling on that day. No, no. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Keep reading. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, which is the good news, and bring glad tidings of good things. So let's reverse engineer this. So someone's got to be sent to preach the word so someone can hear, believe what they heard, and then call. That's how salvation occurs. Someone's sent to preach the word, that they hear the word preached, that they believe something in their heart, and they call upon the name of the Lord. Keep reading with me. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Elijah said, Lord, who has believed our report? In other words, who's believed our preaching? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And of course, the context of that is in relation to the word being preached. So the word's being preached, people are hearing, they're believing, and he says faith now comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If the word's preached, faith will rise. Whatever we're preaching, whatever the subject is, you will get faith rise in your heart regarding that particular issue or subject. The last 14 weeks, we have preached and taught and preached and taught and dug in the word about trusting in the Lord with all our heart. So faith should have risen in our heart so that now we are in a much better place to trust God with all our heart. No matter what the circumstances are telling us, no matter whether there's wind, there's waves, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, whether there's a contradiction to what we believe. There's always a contradiction. It's the devil. The devil's always going to bring contradiction to truth. You've got the word that says this, and there's a contradiction that presents itself. Now, which one do you then side with? The contradiction? Or the word. When everything in the natural says, you can't be believing for that. How's that going to work? How can God do that? Well, didn't Jesus say with God, all things are possible? All things are possible to those that believe? All things are possible to those that believe. You know, that man with the boy that was having the fits, he said, Lord, if you can do anything. And he said, no. He said, not a case of ignorance. If you can believe. He says, you know, if you can do anything, Lord. And he put it right back on him. He said, monkey off my back on yours. No. If you can believe, all things are possible. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Just help me get over the line. I'm struggling a bit here. Just help me get over because I haven't got enough. And Jesus worked with him on that. Even if you just got a little bit of faith, just a pinky of faith, if that's all you got, use it. Little faith can get a result. Great faith can move mountains. But we want faith. We want faith to operate. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And of course, as long as we keep, faith in our heart, we're going to stand. As long as we've got the faith in our heart, we can stand. Very hard to stand without faith. Now, a few things here that will help us. Observing signs and miracles won't of themselves produce faith. Observing signs and miracles won't of themselves produce faith. There are two areas here you could look up in Scripture. One, you've got Luke 5, and it's round about verse 17, and also you get down to verse 26 where you've got the man lowered down the roof. Remember the crippled man lowered down the roof? They ripped up the roof, lowered the man down, and of course, we know the story, he got wonderfully healed. And he was the only one in that whole group because the word said that, you know, the power of the Lord was present to heal because Jesus was teaching. He was teaching in the house and the power of the Lord was present. Well, of course it's present to heal because he was teaching. If you're in the church and we're teaching the word of God, the power of God's present to heal. If you've got something in your body right now that's not right, receive your healing. The word heals. If you believe it, you'll get it. This is not sort of, you know, some wacky stuff. This is real, but people don't believe it. If you believe the word and you say, well, hang on, if your word says that and I believe your word, well, this thing shouldn't be there. Well, you've just elevated yourself to a whole new level of faith. And if you take a hold of that, God will meet you at your faith. The only one to receive when that man was lowered down was him. All the others were hearing, he received. And if you study it out, it said they were amazed. They were in awe and amazement at this amazing thing that God had done. And what did Jesus say? What's easier, to say, you know, your sins are forgiven, or to rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said, get up. What's easier, your sins are forgiven, or walk? It's the same, exactly the same. The same power that forgave our sins heals our bodies, if we're willing to receive it. Same power. Jesus said, what's easier? He didn't say what's harder. He said, what's easier? Well, I'm going to show you just how much God, the Son of Man, can forgive sins. Get up. And of course, a religious elite didn't like that. Now, if you then go to Acts chapter 3, where that man, the beautiful gate of the temple, born crippled, he was raised up. You know, the Bible says that they were in wonder and amazement. All the people gathered around him, they were in wonder and amazement at the amazing thing that God had done. Wonder and amazement. So, you know, just because you see signs and miracles, that one of itself produced faith. Observing signs doesn't produce faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Something else. Signs and wonders. You've heard me say this many times. According to Mark 16:20, signs and wonders follow the preached word. It's not the other way around. Let's come into the church. Let's get the signs and the wonders. Let's have some goosebump feelings, because if we've got the goosebump feelings, we know God's present. Rubbish. We don't need that. We need the word. All we need is the word of God, and if we trust the word, he will respond with signs following. And they're not always these outward manifestations where people say, ah, God was in church today. You may get up when you leave and find out that that pain in your body is not there anymore. God works in amazing ways. It doesn't always have to be spectacular. Often we as, you know, human beings, we want the spectacular because that will anchor something in our hearts. But that's not what God's looking for. That's why he said to Thomas, Thomas, you know, blessed are those that believe but haven't seen. You wanted to see me. You wanted to see the holes. You wanted to put your hand in the side. But he said, that's not faith. He said, blessed are those that don't rely on that, Thomas. You've seen me, but you believe. What about those that haven't seen me? He says, so I don't want people to have a Thomas-type faith. I want people to rise above, transcend above, you know, Thomas's faith. Now, Thomas today is a believer. Amen? A very, very solid one. But we learn from that. His correction is our correction, so that we don't rely on natural things. God will use natural people and circumstances. He will use medical care. I'm not denying any of that. God will use all that. But our faith is always in him first. Throne before the phone. Throne before the phone. That is important. So, signs and wonders follow the preached word. Trials and tribulation, hear me here, won't produce faith. Trials and tribulation. You're going through a hard time. You think, oh, you know, you must be a faith giant. No. That means all the world would be all faith giants. Trials and tribulation don't produce faith, but they do produce, you know, resilience. Trials and tribulations, they'll produce patient endurance and resilience as we stand on the promises of God. The word produces faith. Faith resides in the recreated human spirit and is fed by the word of God. And of course, we know Jesus said that my words are spirit and life in John 6:63. You know, the Bible says, and you don't need to turn there, but in Romans 12, actually you can because we're right there. Romans 12, just go over the page. Romans 12, verse 2. Almost done. Actually, I'll read from verse 1 of Romans 12. I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned to like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That means that you may examine or discern. We can discern the will of God. We're meant to. It's important that we know the will of God, because how can you pray solid prayers if you don't know the will of God? Because if we pray according to his will, according to 1 John 5, he hears us. If we pray according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. That means that we have to know the will of God to pray a powerful prayer. You can't pray a faith prayer without the will of God. And faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And this book is filled with his will. So we trust God at his word, which allows us then to go to him boldly to the throne and make declarations of faith and petitions before him according to his will. So we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed. Transformed, that metamorphosis. And you can't transform something that you're conformed to. So if we're like the world, if we're like the world, fashioned like it, and you've heard me say this before, it's like we're camouflaged. We're camouflaged. We're like the world. People can't see us. They can't see the Jesus in us. They don't see the love of God in us. They don't see us as shining lights on a beacon, you know, on the top of a hill, because the word says we're to let our light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father. But when you're conformed to the world, when you're like the world, when you like to dabble in the world, you like to talk like the world, act like the world, think like the world, you're camouflaged. No one can see you. And no one's drawn to your loving Jesus because they can't see him in it. So we don't want to be like that. So we separate ourselves, not conformed, not fashioned alike, but transformed like a butterfly, metamorphosis, a transformation. And that's what happens when we renew our mind to the word of God. That amazing transformation happens. Little faith, little word, sorry, little faith. Much word, much faith. So I'm going to ask this question as we bring this to a close this morning. Are you running on empty? Is there any faith in the tank? If there's not, fill it up with the word. God doesn't fill our tank for us. We do. And God then backs it. God doesn't fill our tank. We fill our tank, which is our spirit, with the living word of God. See, faith connects us to the grace of God. That is where the enabling power of God resides. His grace is sufficient for us in every situation that we are presented with. So let's close this morning with our foundation scripture for this series, which was Proverbs 3. Go back to Proverbs, and I'm going to close not only this morning, but this entire series with this scripture. And this is what we started on 14 weeks ago. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and it says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding or your own knowledge. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. So Let's maintain that established heart in him because we trust him at his word. Amen. Let's pray.